Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast. This is the Bread of Life segment. I'm Reverend Ray. Amen. Not sure whether Reverend Robin would be joining us today or not, but we're going to, she just joined me.
I'm with you, Reverend Ray. I'm right. Bless the Lord.
Amen. I hear you. Thank you, Reverend Robin, for joining me today. Amen. So again, everybody, we are broadcasting today, a live broadcast, first time in a while. Amen. Brother's schedule's been sort of crazy and everything. So I'm just glad to be back on the Bread of Life on this last Sunday of the month of Amen. Amen, Reverend Robin.
Amen. Bless the
Amen.
Lord.
Bless the Lord. So God has been so good. It's been a very active May. Amen. Been a very active May. So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about some different things. I sent Reverend Robin a couple of scriptures that I wanted to talk about. First one coming out of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And the other one is coming... Let me see if I can get to it real quick. Out of Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 18. Okay? And I think that's the one. Amen. We'll see. We'll see what happens. See how much time we got left. But before we do all that, I do want to remind everybody about His Abounding Grace broadcast. Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is on Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy. Amen. With myself. Amen. Normally it's sometimes Reverend Robin will join me, so I still want to say guest. Or co-host or any of the above, but it's the first, the second, and the fourth Friday, because we got a new broadcast that started in May last week called Matters of the Heart, amen, with Sister Maggie, and that's every third Friday at 7 p.m. So this is Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry, amen. So this is a new broadcast. It's fresh. So I'm looking forward to see what God does with Maggie Wilson and myself. Amen. All right. And then, of course, this Talent to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. That's the Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m., I'm off the broadcast as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. First Monday at 7 p.m. So she got a broadcast coming up, of course, next Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. This is a broadcast geared toward the young people. Amen. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwing is every third Monday of the month. Amen. At 7 p.m. Amen. At 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. I should say pastors. Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Elson is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. This is when the brothers get together. Amen. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference called... Line, amen, is 1 p.m. every Wednesday. The dialing number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-4199. Amen. And you can find out more if you go to the website. Again, Also, we are working. We're not trying to leave you out, ladies. We're trying to put together a women's broadcast also. That hopefully we will have that completed or have an idea which direction we're heading in before the year's out, so that we'll cross all boards of different ministries and different people. And also we want to bring people on to talk about health, talk about foods to eat, exercise, you name it. That's what the goal and desire is for this year. Amen. So with that, all that being said, please check out our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You'll find a little bit more information about the different hosts and about the different shows. If you're interested in sowing a seed into the ministry, we would greatly appreciate it. Amen. You can do that at going to whenchristianspeak.com and clicking on a donate now, or any of the sections that have anything to do with donate now. Okay. We are do have an arrangement with through Amazon. I need to go back and check it, that if you purchase a book on the website, Amazon give us a certain percentage as a nonprofit organization. Okay. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get started in prayer. Father God, we come today first to say thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for another day. Here it is, the end of May. May God, this month has went by so fast. We just want to bless your name. We want to worship you. We want to give you praise. We want to give you honor. We are glad to know, Lord Jesus, that you have kept us another month. So, Father, we pray for those that may be listening all across the world, international, wherever they may be, Lord Jesus, that you begin, Lord Jesus, to come and knock on their door, Lord Jesus, that they will begin to seek after the things of you. We need you in this day and time. The saints of God need you. The bishops need you. The apostles, everybody needs you. Even the president, whether he knows it or not, needs you today, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we submit our ways and we submit this broadcast. Say, come and have your way. We do pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome Reverend Robin with us today. I appreciate she joining me and stuff like that. You know, this is a woman that I've listened through time and time after again with different teachings and everything, and she has so much to offer, man. So it's always a pleasure to have her with me. Amen. Reverend Rodman, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Looking forward to the broadcast. It's always good to get together and break bread. So this is such a great break bread. Let's break bread in the word of the Lord.
Amen. All right. So one of the scriptures, like I said, I sent to Reverend Robin was coming out of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I had did a sermon recently, and I talked about Acts, I think it was last week, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I did it at the Tree of Life Christian Ministry, where the pastor is Pastor James Robinson. And I talked a little bit more about this, and my topic at that time was the right season, the right time, and the purpose. And I can't really get into a lot of the details because that was a lot of information I had. But I want to focus on Acts chapter 3, Reverend Robin. I'm with you. Maybe we can dialogue about this and talk in more detail. And then the second scripture I gave you, I thought it was Matthew. Let me look at my phone. I thought it was Matthew, but I'm not sure.
Nine.
Matthew what?
Chapter 9.
Oh, chapter 9. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, yeah, okay. That's what I got done. We're going to talk about those as much as we can. And I want to focus on timing, and I want to focus on predestination. I want us to focus on purpose. Amen. Because there's some things that's going on that I think we got the time now to really get, don't feel like I'm rushing, amen, to really get into. Is that okay?
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Now, this is Acts chapter 3, verses 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. In other words, this is something that this man did every day. There was always someone taking him to the temple, every day to ask alms. And one of the things that I looked at the scripture, I began to realize that that he was doing this to help to provide his needs, no doubt, or his family's need, no doubt, because he wasn't working. He couldn't work. He couldn't tend to cattle or nothing like that. He wasn't a farmer and nothing like that. So he had to do what he had to do to make ends meet. And the reason for that, I guess this caught my attention because the scripture said that he was lame from his mother's womb. So he never, ever knew what it was like to walk or to run or to jump or to leap. And that's something interesting because sometimes we do those things and we don't even think about it. You know, we just jump up or we just play basketball or football or whatever, or do jumping jacks or exercise. We do those things, we don't even think about it. It's an instinct for us if we just do those things. But the other thing I want to point out, because I talked about timing and purpose, okay, is that the scripture said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in that hour. And another thing that I always liked about, if they went together, you know, in the kingdom, in our relationship with Christ, there's no I's or you's, but there is a team. There is the togetherness, amen, and everything. So in other words, we need each other, okay? All right, verse 3 said, and who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. Now, if I really get the time to get into this and stuff like that, here's this man, amen, he been doing this for, the scripture don't say how old he was, but I can imagine he's been doing it for many, 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 many years. And he's always did the same thing and everything. He probably, no doubt, had a special place at the gate, you know, at the gate called Beautiful, that was just for him. He knew what part of the gate, whether it was the side or to the right or right in the middle, that was the moneymaker. You know, he knew exactly and probably pinned it down to a science of what days the people would donate more money, whether it be the Sabbath or what days they wouldn't. You wouldn't get that much money or that many alms. But he was willing to do this every single time and stuff like that. He had people that would help him get to that. So he had a system in place. When he went to the particular gate, there was a purpose in place and a desire for him to do what? To take care of his family or to take care of his needs. So here he was doing the same thing he always do, nothing different. Another day, maybe it's a day that's more busier than others, because he, no doubt he knew the hour of prayers that the Jews were responsible will come to the temple. No doubt he knew that. He had the schedule down packed. He had the schedule down packed. So what he did when he saw Peter and John, as they begin to pass by him, he asked for alms, and Peter said, look on us, okay? No doubt when he looked at them, I can imagine, because the scripture said, the scripture said, fastened his eye upon him and with John and said, look on us. He said, and he gave heed, verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In other words, he looked at them, and I can imagine he got his hand stretched out, he watching them and saying, and he's expecting something in return. You know, he's expecting some alms, some coins, whatever in return, because he said, look on us. Now, when we really look into the scripture of look on us and everything, they were asking him to look on us as far as our flesh or to see who we were, so who they were. But there was something deeper that Peter and John wanted him to fasten his eyes on. And he didn't catch it. This man, no doubt, they had been lame since his mother's womb, did not catch it. This prophet said, again, it says he gave heed unto them, expected to receive something of them. He was expecting to receive something. This was something, he did on a regular basis. Then Peter said, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He said, look, in other words, y'all, I don't have any money, but silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And let's stop right there. Peter, let him know that you're expecting the wrong thing from me, because I don't have money, I don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And no doubt, I can still, in my imagination, because I have imagination, Reverend Robin, I can still see this man looking at them like, okay, you want me to walk and I cannot walk, okay? And if you want me to look at you, look on us, look on you, and I'm looking at you, but I'm still expecting some type of arms or some type of coins into my hands, okay? Verse 7 says, and he took him by, talking about Peter, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received. The scripture said immediately, you know, there was no wait period. There was nothing else. But the thing that I like about this particular scripture, that while the man was still probably no doubt holding on his hands or waiting for arms, Peter, the scripture that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. So in other words, what the man was expecting was money or coins or something that he can use to buy with. God gave him something that was even much more better. The scripture says he took him up by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I mean, all the DNA that was created for allow us to walk began to work. The blood cells, the muscles, the bones, all those things came together. All those things came together at the right time immediately. When I think of the word immediately, Reverend Robin, I think of just like that. The snap of immediately, the scripture says. You know, that he had to go home and come back immediately. Amen. And said, and he leaping up, stood and walked. First part of it says, and he leaping up. Yeah, he leaping up. You know, Peter grabbed him by the hand, and he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This man that had never walked before, this man had been lame since his mother's womb, now was able to walk. Now was able to leap for joy and to praise God. And I can imagine him just running and running and praising God, giving God what we call a crazy praise, because now a miracle had just happened to him. He was expecting one thing, but God gave him something entirely different. God gave him something entirely different, entirely blessing, entirely to a point that it made him complete. It made him whole again. It made him leap for joy and to worship him in everything. Okay? And scripture goes, and I believe in my writing I have that it was destined for Peter and John to be that at that appointed time, predestined for this man, for all three to meet on this particular day at this particular hour, so that this man that had never walked before would be able to walk at this particular time. It was predestinated. It was designed, okay, for them to be there. The layman used a strategy of like clockwork of doing the same thing every day. But on this day, things changed for him. On this day, things changed for him. One of the things I looked at, Reverend Robin, and you know, I've talked about this before, is about the gate itself. The gate called Beautiful, amen, is defined as a happening or coming at the right time. I never knew that in all my years of studying this particular scripture. I never knew that's what they look at it as coming at the right time. So here is this man. Look at this for something. He's coming every day or often enough that having people bring him to a gate called at the right time. He's coming to a gate called at the right time, you know, or happening or coming at the right time, you know. And it's amazing that he kept doing this over and over again until that at the right time moment came true for him. Why? Because he came there for alms and God through Peter and John completely healed him. So he got his healing at that time. he would never be the same ever again. You know, people will look at him and see a walking miracle, a leaping miracle in everything. I don't know, but maybe it was me or something like that. And for the first time, maybe I'll be, every time you see me, I'm either running, I'm jogging, or I'm skipping. Just to remind myself of what God did. I don't know, and everything. But at the right time, this came together for this young man. At the right time. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Reverend Robin, you got anything to add?
I mean, I think that, you know, there's just so much to see in the miracle of this. You know, we read these things and kind of read them and, oh, he got up and he leaped. And I mean, but this is someone who has never walked.
Mm-mm.
So he even bypassed those stages of a baby learning to walk. Yeah. You know, we kind of gloss over that. This is a man who never walked before.
Mm-mm.
Didn't know what it meant to walk. But it didn't say that he stumbled when he got up.
Mm-mm.
He didn't stumble. It was a complete work that God did. Not only did his legs and everything become whole and able to move, but his mind also went just as if he had just broke his leg yesterday and now he was healed.
Now,
he had the full knowledge and understanding of how to walk. It was just natural for him. It wasn't a learning process. It was a natural thing as if he had always walked and just perhaps had an accident. But that's not the case because Scripture said he was lame from birth. But when God does a work, he does a complete work.
Complete.
When God comes in on time, at the appointed time, and does a thing, it's a complete thing. So it's just a blessing. We read these and we kind of gloss over to be able to, you know, we just sit back and take in the magnitude of what God did. God healed his body. You know, he gave him knowledge in his mind. You know, he so much, and he healed him in spiritually because he went forth praising God. It's never said that he went inside at the hour of prayer, but he was always out. But now that house of prayer became a place and a sidewalk of praise, and I just think that's just an awesome thing. There's so many levels or layers to this that if we stop and look at it, it's like, wow, look at God. Look at God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Rod. Yeah, I agree that there's so many different layers just to this part. We're only talking about 8 scriptures, y'all. Yes, to that part, so many different layers. And you're right, Rob. The mind, all that had to come together. All of that came together. Who can do that? No doctor can do that. This was nobody but God. Nobody but God could do something like that. It was just he didn't even know. He didn't know how to walk. You know, before, okay. If somebody had told him to go ahead and walk, he wouldn't know even because he hadn't learned those things. You're right. He had learned those things. But I'm with you. It's like instantaneous, immediately. You know? even his mind got poured into the body. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Isn't it? That is so amazing, man. Thank you, Reverend Robin, for that. Amen. Let's see what else I got here. Amen. It was an appointed time, and I always think about the leaping. The leaping, walking, praising was just the outcome of what took place, of all those things working together. You know, it was just the outcome of Peter saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," the outcome of the word being spoken. The word was spoken already for him to walk. The outcome, you know, the outcome. But what, you know,
amen.
All right. Amen. The outcome, man. All right, Reverend Robin, let's go to the next one. You want to read the next one?
We're going to Matthew?
Yes, Matthew, yes.
Okay. Now, I did look at the one in Matthew, but
okay.
This thing, you know, this is all in the gospel. So, you know, it's synoptic.
Okay.
So I actually like how it's given in Mark 5.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. So, okay. If you don't mind, let's look at Mark 5, beginning at verse 24.
Amen.
Okay, so we're picking up, you know, we're picking up as Jesus is en route to someplace else, actually, to do some, to actually fulfill another healing. But in Mark 5:24, it says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." You know, and when we look at that word throng, it was like there was a multitude of people, a large number, everybody just crowding together, you know. You know, it was just a pressurized type of thing. It was a press because everyone is following. Everybody wants to see, and everybody is crowding in. And it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." Now, you can, you know, if you begin to think back in those times, a woman was considered unclean as long as she was bleeding. You know, when she had to remain isolated and separated until her time of bleeding was finished. But this woman was 12 years bleeding. And it said in verse 26 that, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Now, whenever I look at this, you know, from a woman's perspective, and it says that she had suffered many things of many physicians, I can only imagine the things that they had been doing to her in order to resolve her issue.
Yeah.
And that's just from a woman's perspective of having gone to the doctors. You know, that I'm sure she had over a 12-year period of time trying to resolve this, that she had gone to so many physicians, and she had spent all the money that she had, and she was no better. You know, so her plight actually is multiple because, you know, first of all, she's bleeding continuously, so that means she's isolated. She doesn't have she cannot be amongst everyone socially. She probably should not have even been there in the midst of this crowd, you know, and now she didn't have any money. You know, it doesn't really specify whether or not she was married or not, but to be a woman during this time with no money, you know, no way to support herself and not being able to, since she was continuous bleeding, to go and be amongst people, she was in a terrible strait. You know, I mean, so it comes to the point that she had nothing, she had ill health, and she really had no other means of obtaining it, if we look at it, because she had no more money. So she was at her last, you know, she was in a bad place, okay? And it said that, you know, in verse 27 here, is that when she heard, you know, it's like when she heard of Jesus, you know, and it says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. It's like when she heard the reports, when she knew that he was coming, her faith had been activated. She was like, this is my answer. I'm at my last thing. I have no more money. My hope is gone. There is nothing else. I am going to press into him and get exactly and get what I need. This is my last chance, you know. So it says that she pressed in behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Now, this is some faith. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to lay your hands on me. If I can just touch your clothes. I mean, that is what her faith was at this point. She's like, I have nothing. You know, sometimes we get to that point, that's a place where God can move. When you don't have anything but God and you are pressing in, you didn't try all that you can try, and you surrender and you raise up and you just lift up your hands and say, I can't do another thing. I've done all I can. I've spent everything I could. I've tried every route that there is. And Jesus, you know, he says just Jesus. You know, we got that sense where we say just call on the name of Jesus. You know, just call his name. And this is where she was. If I can just touch his clothes. Just touch his clothes. And it says it's, and verse 29 of Mark 5, it says, and straightway, immediately, Reverend Ray, immediately,
yes.
straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and all she did was touch the hem of his garment. Straightway, immediately, she had gone where her faith had been so activated that her faith went in and received exactly what she was searching for, exactly what she was wanting. You know, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Felt in her body. You see, and it's something here in Mark, it says straightway, but in Luke it reads immediately. And that is the same thing that where we've just read in Acts, Reverend Ray, is that when God does something, it's immediately. It may seem like to us that we've been waiting a long time, but then looking at it and how about this and how's it going to happen and what's it going to look like and what's it going to feel like and who's going to be the answer. But when God does it, it's like done. Done. We've done all this time, all of our own efforts, and this, like you say, timing and purpose. You know, timing and purpose connected for this woman. It connected enough that all she needs, she just needs to be in the proper place just enough to touch his garment. You know, you're talking about timing. It was purpose for that to happen. Even if it was nothing, all she had to do was be at the right place just to touch the hem of his garment. And it says, and Jesus, immediately knowing, this immediately and this straight way seems to be wrapped all around the things of God.
Yes.
You know, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he immediately knew. Isn't that something, you know, for God to immediately know how we have pressed in and just touched him? You know, we just pressed in and we touched him and everything that we needed just flowed from him. Whether it's a healing, you know, whether or not it's power, whether or not it's authority, you know, we don't know, you know, that strength that you are lacking and you pressed in well enough that you touched him and you became strengthened. You know, it's just however, you know, that thing is, that virtue, whatever it is that you needed, that we press in enough that it immediately flows from him to us. And that's just an awesome thing, you know. And he said, and he turned about in the press, you know, who touched my clothes? Now, I would have to submit that in this throng of people, in the midst of this group of people, many people had touched him, touched his clothes. You know how it is when you're in a throng of people, bumping in people, I'm sorry, pardon me. You know at some point others had touched, but no one came and touched him with such a faith and a desire to receive something from him and knowing that if they just touch, they will receive. How many, you know, actually go unto him, beseeching him with the confidence of knowing that if I only touch him, I am going to receive? I think that's the difference in how we go with a knowing, going with a confidence, going with a surety that if I touch him, I'm going to receive, you know. And so when he said, who touched me, his disciples were like, who touched you? You know, all these people, do you see all these people? What do you mean, who touched me? Who touched you? How can we tell you who touched me? But he knew he'd been touched, and he knew virtue had left him, and he knew exactly who touched him. And that's the thing. In 32, it says, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Isn't that something? I mean, that is, to me, you know, when I've read this many times, is that God knows those who press into him with a heart, with a mind, with a confidence to actually reach him. Because he says those who seek him shall be found of him. And he turned around, you know, and it says here in verse 33 now, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. But he already knew the person who had touched. He knew that this woman had touched him. You know, it was a, like Reverend Ray's been saying, it was an appointed time. It was a purpose in that. You know, she had been going 12 years all in her own strength, you know, going to the natural doctors, trying to get herself healed and suffering many things from them, but nothing occurred. But on this one day, or this specific street, at this specific time, where only thing that's flowing past her is the hymn of his garment. And that is all that she was able to touch, and the virtue just flowed directly from him unto her, and she was healed straightway, immediately, at that appointed time, on this street, right then, in the throng of people, she was able to have her faith activate and interconnect and connect with Jesus, that she was immediately healed. Reverend Ray?
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. Amen. What an awesome. Yeah, yeah, that's where I should have been, because Mark has all of that more information you combine into. It's an awesome story that took place for her, her desire just to touch the hill. You know, she was determined. You know, she was determined to go through all of that, to go through the crowd, no matter what. Because, you know, under normal circumstances, they would consider her to be unclean. And I can imagine somebody seeing that. Maybe they didn't know or recognize what she was doing, but she was determined just to get that touch with Jesus. You know, mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to have that kind of seek that. Like that after that kind of zeal to seek after the things of the Lord, whether it be a healing or whether it be a prayer answer. We need to seek after God. Like that, the scripture said that Jesus said that if you seek me, you will find me. Okay, so we need to have that type of purpose. Just like narrow minded, I'm gonna do it. I don't care what they say. I know they're gonna talk about me. I know somebody's gonna kick me, because they know I'm trying. But they don't understand my testimony. They don't understand my pain. They don't understand what I've already gone through. The scripture said that she has spent all her money. You know, going to, like Reverend Robinson, going to all these different doctors and everything. And I can see her being a guinea pig. Or, well, let's try this. Or let's give you this right here. Or let's see how this works. And none of those things work for her. None of those things. You know, in both of these scriptures, Reverend Marvin and myself, there was so much else that's going on. And sometimes, you know, what I like to do for myself, and I believe Reverend Robin is saying, just go there and break it down. I think I told somebody today that sometimes we just need to look at even the letter of the script, what the word is, or the words, or the not just the paragraph, and not just read through it real quick. Everything. You're going to always, one thing I like about the scripture, you're going to always find something in there for you, or something in there to help somebody else out, or to encourage someone. You know, you can always find, it's always, with all this time for both of these scriptures, Reverend Robin, that I've looked at, and if they're over many, many, many years, and look like all of a sudden it was just complete revelation of something entirely different, something that was missed. Like you said, with the whole healing part with the first guy, never ever been had the ability to walk, but all of a sudden now he's walking and he understands the body understands the idea of walking. Without ever being taught about how to do it, not going through the process as we grow as a babe to youth of crawling first, he did none of that.
No, he just leaped.
He just leaped. He
yes,
leaped.
And yes, and I think that the difference between these two, you know, Jesus said to her daughter, "Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know, he says, and synoptically in Luke 8:48, he said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." You know, and I think if we look at this, he doesn't say, "Go and be of good comfort. I have made you whole."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Thy faith."
Yes.
Your faith. Our faith is what draws down virtue from God. You know,
yeah.
It is our faith that pulls down that strength and that power. It is our faith, you know, that is able to move the mountain. You know, he says, if you had the faith, you can tell the faith the size of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go.
Mm.
You know, he says, the scripture doesn't say that through me, you know, but it's your faith in Christ that is able to move mountains. It's your faith in Christ that is able to bring forth a healing. You know, it is your faith in Christ that will strengthen you to go and do something that you thought that you were incapable of doing. It is the faith. Do you know how much do we believe? You know, it's, you know, and I know something that, you know, our pastor would say, you know, you have faith to know that he can, but you don't have enough faith to believe that he will.
Mm.
You know, so, but it is the faith. I mean, and I look at this, and it's like, well, okay, as long as I trust and believe and have confidence, it is that faith that will change my life. Because I can have the faith in who he says he is, I believe in who he says he is, and he says that he is going to transform and renew and place laws and statutes in my heart and mind, and he's going to do a causation. So that's what I'm going to trust, and that's what I'm going to believe, and that's what I'm going to have faith in, that is going to occur. So when I come to him and when I say, "Hey, God, you said this, and I believe it," then that faith is what's going to produce it.
No.
Because he says, "Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace."
Amen.
Thy faith has made you whole. So whatever we may be, we have to trust and have confidence in who God is and walk in peace. Walk in peace in all that he said. Just walk in the peace of it. And you know, and when it's going to, always the enemy is going to come and try to crack that faith. That's what he wants to do. Come and sow seeds of doubt, you know, giving, you know, telling you all these other different things as opposed to what God has said. But we have to remember that it is our faith that is going to make us whole. It is our faith that's going to make a change in our lives. This made a change in her life. Her life was different from that day forward. But the thing that I wanted to do, the comparison between this woman and the man at the gate of beautiful, is that God is no respecter of person.
None. Amen.
Because this man wasn't standing in faith, wasn't asking for no healing, wasn't doing any of that. God is not a respecter of person. And like you say, Reverend Ray, it's purposed, it was timing, and it was his season. I mean, because when we look at Acts, and when it comes there and it said, it says, let's look at, I'm going to read that, Acts 3:3. It says, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms." And the next verse it says, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us." He saw them coming. But I guess he was doing, he mindlessly just sits there all day asking, don't even pay paying any attention. He knows somebody's coming, but it's not really like looking at them or paying that much attention. He knows that they're there, and his next thing is, "Got a dollar?" I'm just saying that just from people, you know, You got a not really seeing it, but knowing someone is there, you just got a dollar. So he wasn't even at a place where the woman who with the issue of blood who was going forth with an expectation. He had no expectation of this.
Yeah.
But yet and still, you know, it wasn't until Peter said, look on us. And he gave heed and looked at them. But what his expectation was to receive some coins, receive some money. That was his expectation. He wasn't expecting a healing. He had longed for, I'm sure, given up on thinking he would ever walk or that his legs would ever work. But immediately, you see, so sometimes it's when we least expect it, God comes forth with what we need.
Come on.
Before we even ask for it. You know? And it's just when, but the whole thing is, he says, Peter says, look upon us. Sometimes it's just a matter of looking in the right direction. You see, and I think it is such a blessing with the things of God. He is no respect of person.
None.
No respect of a person at all. You can be expecting one thing, and he will give you something totally different, but it is exactly what you need.
Completely.
It's an awesome thing. It is exactly what we need. We bless God. God is awesome. Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead, Reverend.
You know, I'm we're basically done. We got like about 10 minutes, but I just want to say that, you know, just go home. Well, I mean, you're already home, wherever you are. Study these scriptures. You'll find some other things in there that Reverend Robert and myself haven't even brought out yet. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some things. You know, I know this poor master, Reverend Robert, when I looked at these scriptures and everything like that earlier, and I mean, for me, it did something for me. You know, because what it does is, like you said, the God has the respect for the person, and he has a desire for us to be healed, to be whole, you know, to be complete, you know, to be finished, all those things, you know. And like I said earlier in the day, that God doesn't do anything incomplete. Everything he do is complete. He do is complete. It's complete. He does a thing for us holistically, as a body, mind, and so he don't miss anything. I mean, you gave a good example when you were talking about the one with the issue of blood, and also with the man. You know, the mind had to come together with the spirit and the body.
Yeah.
All those things had to come together at the same time, immediately. You know,
immediately. He had no expectation. Only had his hand out just to get some coins. He had no expectation of what was about to happen to him. None.
Yeah, his routine life of doing the same thing every day came to an unexpected end because he, like you said, he didn't expect it. You know, and just like the one where they said they were completely changed from therefore on. Like Lazarus, change for the rest of their days. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to go ahead and close out. We're going to give it back to Reverend Robin and ask her to pray out and any last bit of nuggets that she may have. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. When we can take comfort in our faith, you know, our faith is truly to be protected, because it is through our faith that so much is accomplished in our lives and in the lives of our family. You know, as we go forth, you know, just keeping the faith. You know, when you encounter your family and they may not have the faith, you can encourage them to say, but, you know, we had one of the ministers say, trust God. Trust God that he will provide. Trust God that, you know, some of us are waiting on our full manifestations of our healing. But no matter what the body may try to tell you, trust God. keep your faith in that he is a healer and that he will come forth in due season.
In due season.
In due season. That, and it is true, in due season. I'm going to trust. I'm going to keep trusting, you know, because he says, I'm going to, you know, thy faith has made thee whole. So we have to hold on to our faith and not let it go for whatever you're trusting God for. Don't let up on it. Don't let up on it. Keep pressing into him. You know, if you can use this woman with the issue of the blood and there's a throng of people around Jesus, you know, walking with him. But, you know, you let us move beyond the walking into him, walking with him to see what he's going to do, to be a bystander, because most of them were just walking just to see what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
No, we throng and press into him to see, I want you to do this for me. I need this. And I believe that you can do it. I'm not going to walk with you as a bystander. But I want to be engaged with you. I want to receive the virtue that you promise is mine, that virtue of power and authority, you know, everything, any resource, whatever it needs, I'm going to press into you. I'm going to walk not just to be a bystander, but a participant in all of who you are. So it's got to move in a different way, you know, to press in, you know, not just to be a one in the crowd waiting to see something, but go with an expectation of receiving something from him. Go with an expectation, you know, and if you look at this, it's just, you know, your faith has made thee whole. You know, God can, you know, Jesus can turn and say, I see you. I see that you believe in me. I see that you trust in me. I see that you worship in me. I see that you have a love for me. I see that. That's what Jesus sees. When our faith remains so strong in him, he sees that it's a love. And that's what he wants, a loving relationship with us. So our faith exhibits our love for him, our belief in who he is, our belief that he is God and above him there is no other, our belief that he is God and every word that he says he shall fulfill. That is what our faith shows unto him. And when we show that unto him, he wants to show that we are correct, that it is true. Then he wants to demonstrate his power. He's going to let his virtue flow because we believe in him. We believe in him. We're surrendering. This woman had gone through everything else. I have nothing else left, but there is God. And I'm going to come to him with all that I have, and I'm going to believe in him that all, if I only, you know, she believed in him so much, is that I don't even need him to talk to me. I don't need him to touch me. I just need to touch a piece of his clothing. And I'm sure God turned around and said, who believed in me like that? Who believed in me like that? Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Whatever your situation is, let your faith be what makes you whole, that we may walk in the peace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to just love on you the way you have loved on us, because you first loved us and you gave your only begotten Son that we can be reconciled unto you, that we would be able to know you in the power of your holiness and the power of your beauty, Lord God. Everything, Lord, that we have the opportunity to get to know the creator of all things. We get to know the one who created us. We get to know the one who's majestic. We get to know the one who's omnipotent, omniscient, all power, the one who controls everything, that there is not a dominion, a power, a throne, of spiritual wickedness, nothing that does not have to bow unto you, Lord God. So, Father, we come, we acknowledge you. We come, Lord God, we say we see you. We come, we say we see you in all of creation. We come, Lord God, and we say that you are the great I am. And
yes,
above there is no other. We come and we say you are the doctor, that you are the healer, that you are the one, Lord God, who has peace just in your hands, that you are a mind regulator, that you are our shield, you are our buckler, you are our high tower, you are that place where we can run in and there is shelter and there is safety, Lord God. Father, you are our solid rock, that in any situation we can stand and we will not fall. So, Father, we recognize you in all of your power and in your strength and your authority and your sovereignty. Father, we just come and we recognize you, and we know that it all rests in you, and we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord God, for your Son that brings us into a relationship unto you, that we can come and we can say, Abba, Father, and we know that you love us, Lord God, that we know that you are no respecter of person. We know that you know that there is everything there is to know about us in our wretchedness, Lord God, but yet you love us, Lord God. So for that, we just praise you. We worship you. Where else can we go that we can be loved for all of our faults and all of our shortcomings and all of our ugliness, and yet you will love us? So,
yes,
Father,
God.
We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you, Lord God. We come and we say right now in the name of Christ Jesus, help us in any area of unbelief that we have towards you, Lord God, for you have proven yourself repeatedly to be God, and that there is none greater, there is none that will not just fulfill all things, that you hold everything in your hands. It is because of you, Lord, that we live, move, and have our being. We recognize that. We acknowledge it. We know that we are not our own, Lord, and especially those who are yours. We have been purchased with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus. But that blood not only purchased us, but it cleanses us. So, Father, we thank you. We magnify you, we exalt you, we give you the highest praise of hallelujah, and we bless your most holy name. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray and say amen and amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Bless God, hallelujah. Amen. God, it is so good. Thank you, Reverend Robin. Amen. You have been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been the Bread of Life. I'm Reverend Ray, and Reverend Robin has joined me today with an awesome word. Amen. Please share this broadcast. Send us some love. Let us know how you're doing. You can get in contact with us either on Facebook under When Christians Speak Talk Radio, or you can send me an email at whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening in. God bless you. God bless you. Thanks again, Reverend Robin. We'll talk later.
God bless everyone. God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.